upon Indra. Kupitaha, being very angry, Banam, an arrow, Adat, took up, Udhyat, having taken up, Karmukaha, the bow. The translation and purport by His Divine Guest, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maharaj Prithu, who was celebrated as very powerful, immediately took up his bow and arrows and prepared to kill Indra himself, because Indra had introduced such irregular sannyas orders. Purport. It is the duty of the king not to tolerate the introduction of any irreligious systems. Since King Prithu was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, certainly his duty was to cut down all kinds of irreligious systems. Following in his footsteps, all heads of state should themselves be bona fide representative of God and should cut down all irreligious systems. Unfortunately, they are cowards who declare a secular state. Such a mentality is a way of compromising religious and irreligious systems. But because of this, citizens are generally becoming uninterested in spiritual advancement. Thus, the situation deteriorates to such an extent that human society becomes hellish. Namo magyanana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam mena tashmay shri guruve namaha mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate giram yat kripatam aham vande guru dinakaram. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Krishna. So Maharaj Prithu, who was celebrated as very powerful, immediately took up his bow and arrows and prepared to kill Indra himself, because Indra had introduced such irregular sannyas orders. Hare Krishna. So we have been discussing since many days how King Prithu is performing his sacrificial, his horse sacrifice, 100 horse sacrifices. So he had performed 99. And at the beginning, it is mentioned that because he was fully dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was fully dependent on that, on Krishna, so his opulence, his kingdom was flourishing like anything. And because of that, seeing his prosperity, his opulence, Indra became very envious. And King Prithu started horse sacrifices also, and he had completed 99, and he was performing 100th one. So it is a system that a person who does 100 horse sacrifices, he becomes the king of heaven. He gets the post of Indra. So Indra was very fearful. So being afraid and being envious, what did he do? He stole the horse which was meant for sacrifice. He disguised himself as a sannyasi and he took the horse. So when Atri Muni saw it, he understood everything. He instructed King's son Prithu's son Vijit Sava. He instructed him that you go catch him and take the horse back. And when Prithu Maharaj's son heard this, he became very angry. And he chased Indra. And shouting, wait, wait. And he was ready with his bow and arrow to kill him. And when he reached near him, he saw that Indra, he had disguised himself as a sannyasi, as a sadhu, wearing some sannyas kind of clothes. So immediately he became confused. And he did not release his arrows. He became confused. Just seeing the dress. That, oh, he's a sannyasi. How can he steal? A sannyasi cannot steal. It's not possible. He came back. Then again, Atri Muni said, no, he's not a sannyasi. Go back. Go back, kill him and take the horse back. Again he followed him. And this time he was very angry. When Indra saw it, that he is very angry, he immediately abandoned his dress, left the horse behind and became invisible there. Immediately disappeared. So Vijitsava, the son of Kritu Maharaj, he took the horse back. But King Indra, it was like one-pointed intelligence. What did he do again? Again, he brought a dense darkness around the sacrificial arena. And again he stole the horse. Again he stole the horse. And again Atri Muni informed Prithu Maharasan that you go and take the horse back. Then again this Prithu Maharasan, he followed him, he chased him. But when he saw Indra dressed as a sannyasi, as a sadhu, he did not release his arrows. He returned back. Atri Muni told him, Baba, you go. He's not a sadhu. He's not a saint. He's a swindler. He's a cheater. You go, bring the horse back. And again this time he was very angry. He took his bow and arrow, prepared himself to kill Indra. And when Indra saw that he is very angry, Vijitsava is very angry, immediately he abandoned his dress and disappeared from the very same spot, left the horse behind. Right? So Prabhupada, then Maharaj Prithu, when he understood everything, what did he do? He himself prepared to kill Indra. He prepared himself to kill Indra. Why? Because he understood that Indra has introduced such irregular sannyas orders. Because of Indra, such kind of sannyasis exist in today's society. Like that day, Maharaj was saying, he was the founder acharya of such cheating religions. So nowadays, like in Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that citizens are generally becoming uninterested in spiritual advancement. Because sadhus, they are cheaters, they are not following their rules and regulations which they are supposed to follow. So people have lost their faith. In those days, like we can see, Prithu Maharaj's son, twice he was deceived by seeing the dress of Indra. Twice he was deceived just by seeing the false dress, seeing the sannyas dress of Indra. By this we can understand how powerful dress is. Right? He knew that Indra is taking the horse. He has stolen the horse. He knew that. But still when he saw him dressed as a sannyasi, immediately his consciousness changed. He thought, no, how he can steal? So dress has got the potency to change the consciousness of a person. So in those days, when sadhus were strictly following rules and regulations, even someone if cheats, at that time, people would, follow him, obey him. Oh, he cannot be cheated, because no sadhus till now has cheated anyone. At that time, that was the situation. But nowadays, because regularly we hear so many scandals about sadhus, so people have lost their faith. So if some sincere person, some bona fide representative of God is also there, people cannot put their faith. It's very difficult. Because being repeatedly cheated, it's very difficult for them to put faith on the sadhus. How can they put faith? If somebody cheats me once, twice, thrice, after that, how can I put faith on the person? One time okay, two time okay. Regularly, every day, every year we hear such scandals. 2 or 3 years back we heard some Swaminarayan temple scandal. Sannyasis or brahmacharis having illicit connection with women. Right? Last year we had Asaram Bapu's story. So how can people put their faith? How can they trust on sadhus? It's not possible. Like once there was a boy, he used to herd sheep. All of you must have heard this story. So he used to tend his sheep in a dense forest, in a deep forest area. So suddenly one day he thought that if some tiger comes, what will happen? Some tiger comes, what will happen? He will eat. Tiger will eat all my sheep. Who will protect me? Then a thought came in his mind that, okay, what will I do? I will shout, I will scream, and I will call all the villagers for the help, and they will help me. Then again he thought, will they come? So let me try. Let me try it out. So he climbed on a tree and started shouting, tiger has come, tiger has come, please save me, protect me. And all the villagers, when they heard it, they came to protect this boy and his sheep. But they saw there was no tiger, and this boy said, I'm sorry, actually I was testing whether you people will come or not when I'm in difficulty. So next time I will not do it, but whenever I will shout like this, please come to protect me. So villagers say, okay, he was just testing, no problem. So after a few days, again he thought, okay, let me create some jokes with these villagers. So again he climbed on the tree and shouted, please help me, please protect me, a tiger has come. And all the villagers, they rushed toward that boy to help him. And when they reached there, this boy started laughing. He said that I befooled all of you, actually no tiger is here. And these villagers, they became very angry. They went back, didn't say anything. And this boy again did it, two times, three times. And eventually what happened, one day really a tiger came. And this boy, seeing this tiger, became afraid. He climbed on the tree, started shouting, please help me, a tiger has come, he is eating all my sheep, please protect me, where are all of you, please come. But at that day nobody came. Villagers thought, he is just joking, he is just cracking jokes, don't take him seriously, no tiger is there. And even if tiger has come, leave him, why should we trust on him, right? So the moral of the story is, of course we should not lie, that is what we read in our schools. We should not lie, because even if we lie regularly, then even if sometimes we speak truth, people will not believe. They will think he is a liar, he is lying. But second one is that if someone is cheated repeatedly, he will not trust. So because public repeatedly being cheated, they don't trust on sadhus, right? So now they have lost their faith on the saffron cloth, on the temples, on the sannyasis. They don't have any faith. If you go to some residential area, if you are in saffron dress, seven head, immediately that security will stop you. My dear sir, from where are you coming? Who are you? Why did you come here? Whom do you want to meet? What is your purpose? So many questions he will ask, right? Generally people would invite sadhu in those days, please dear sir, please come to my house, sanctify my house. But nowadays if you go, immediately they will suspect, why did he come here, what is the purpose, right? So because of that, people have lost faith. One second significant point here is, from this whole episode, is Prithumara's son Vijiswa, he was deceived twice, not single, not one time, two times he was deceived by Indra, not Indra actually, by Indra's dress. By Indra's dress he was deceived twice. Seeing Indra dressed as a sannyasi, he became bewildered. No, how can a sannyasi steal? A sannyasi cannot be a thief. Right? So dress actually is very powerful. How do we recognize a policeman? By his dress. And when a policeman wears his dress, he himself feels that, yes, I am something. Right? That dress gives some power. You feel yourself, yes, I am a policeman, or I am a ticket checker, TC. Similarly, when Brahmachari wears the saffron cloth, This dress helps us to keep our consciousness intact. This saffron color helps us to keep our consciousness pure. Like immediately seeing the dress of a sannyasi, Vijitsava was very angry. He was very angry. But when he saw Indra dressed as a sannyasi, immediately his consciousness changed. No, no, he cannot be a cheater. He cannot be a thief. Right? So dress has such an effect. An angry person immediately gave up his anger. Right? And returned back. Similarly, this dress helps us to change our consciousness. That's why we wear saffron dress. It reminds us that we are brahmacharis, we are celibates. We are men, we are here to serve Krishna. We are here to purify ourselves and to go back home, back to Godhead. It reminds us our duties. That I have joined the ashram for what? For preaching. To spread the message of Krishna, this message of Bhagavad Gita. To give Krishna to others. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army dress. You know, every army have their own dress code. So this saffron dress, seven head, dilak, kanti mala, bead bag, this is Lord Chaitanya's army dress code. Right? Saffron or white, whatever it may be. So we all of us are, you know, like commanders in his army, having our dress. So repeatedly this dress reminds us our duty. Whenever some nonsensical thoughts comes in our mind, immediately by just seeing this dress, we can remind ourselves, oh, I'm a brahmachari, I'm a celibate. Why I'm thinking like this? And this dress protects us also. Like as soon as you step out from the temple's door, you can see all kind of nonsense things on billboards and so many nonsense things on the road. Right? But because of this dress, we are safe. You cannot stare at some picture there. Because you know, I have worn this dress, how can I look at that picture? What people will think? Is it not? Right? Or using this dress, we cannot go to a panwala and tell him, please give me some cigarette, I want to smoke. Is it possible? No. We cannot go to some theater to watch movie, even though we may desire. I'm not saying we desire. We may. Suppose sometime this thought comes that, okay, let us go to theater and have a movie. Let us watch a movie. But because of this dress, we cannot do that. So this dress helps us. It's our security. It's our shield to protect us. So this dress value should be valued. It should be valued. We should not take this dress cheaply. It's very, very valuable thing. Not available for everyone, right? Of course, anyone can buy 200 rupees dhoti kurta, color it, saffron and wear it. That is a different thing. But as such, what value it has, it's not possible for everyone to wear such dress. Only those people whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestows his mercy, right? They can wear it and they can continue it for their whole life. Otherwise it is not possible. So dress is so powerful. And we can use this dress and we can utilize it or we can exploit it also. Using this dress. Like people, as soon as they see sadhu wearing a saffron dress, they respect them. So we can use their respect to give them Krishna consciousness. My dear sir, you respect me, that's very nice, but please chant Hare Krishna. If a person respects you, definitely he will hear you. And when he will hear you, and when you speak, please chant Hare Krishna, please read Bhagavad Gita, please read Bhagavatam, please come to temple, please attend morning programs, evening program. Definitely he will change. So this dress has a respect. This dress has got a respect. And we can either utilize it, we can either use it or misuse it. We can explore, we can misuse it also. People respect this dress, we can say, okay, give me some donations. And we can use those that donation for our sense gratification. We can misuse people's faith. We can exploit them using this dress. Right? Like there are many people who are in saffron, they do Ras Leela. I am Krishna. Krishna never wore a saffron dress, you know. He never wore. He was always in a yellow garment, new bhakta. Krishna was always in new bhakta dress. Yellowish garments. Never saffron or white. Right? So they do Ras Lila. They call different men's wives and girls and daughters and they dance with them. And here in previous verses, Prabhupada mentions also that there are few sampradayas. They say, like Sunday Maharaj was mentioning that Swami Narayan, as soon as a person wears saffron dress, he becomes Narayan. He becomes Krishna. Krishna never wears saffron dress. Have any of us seen Krishna wearing a saffron dress? Not possible. As Lord Chaitanya he wore, but that was for a different purpose. So dress has a value. And for this reason, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, who appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas. Why? Only because of dress. Someone may say, ahetukiya pratihata, unobstructed, devotional service is unmotivated and uninterrupted. Dress is not required. That is correct. That is true. Any person, dress and address doesn't matter actually. We can be in pant shirt, we can be in dhoti kurta, we can be inside the temple, we can be outside of temple, but still we can be a devotee. But why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas? Sannyas means a different kind of dress actually. Because people, they respect sannyasi. So it is not written on forehead, this is a sannyasi. No. How do we recognize a sannyasi? Even in our temple, how do we recognize? If somebody is in dhoti, we say, oh, he's a brahmachari. But somebody wears dhoti in a lungi style. You know, lungi style. Sannyasi generally wear. So we know, he's a sannyasi. So by dress, we may not know a person that he's a sannyasi or brahmachari. But by dress, we recognize a person. That yes, he's a sannyasi. Immediately we offer our obeisances. Full dandavats. Is it not? Right? We do that. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas for what? To preach. He changed his dress. Right? He took sannyasi dress. So that people would respect him and would hear him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used their respect to make them devotee. Right? So everything has got its utility. It may be any dress, saffron dress, pant shirt. Like if you go to colleges, if you go in saffron, they would not allow you. They will not allow you. So pant shirt is there, important. That's why many youth preachers, they wear pant shirt. They don't shave their head. So that dress has important at that place. But eventually for a brahmachari or for a sannyasi, saffron is safe. Saffron is the safest. Right? Because in pant shirt, there is a very high chance that we may slip. Because who is with us? Nobody. We are going alone or with someone who is also in pant shirt. And mind is so strong. Anytime it can take us away from our goal. Right? And we are anyway in pant shirt, having money. Anytime we can do any nonsense thing. Because nobody is seeing. But in saffron, it is not possible. Right? So that's why this dress is being given to us. That's why generally temple policy is that after initiation, one should wear saffron. Now responsibility. Saffron means responsibility. It's not a show. I'm brahmachari. So this dress reminds us our responsibility. This dress reminds us that we are celibates. We have dedicated our life for the service of the Lord. We should value it. And if you are not able to, better change. Saffron to white. Green signal. I'm ready for, I'm available for marriage. Right? Saffron is red signal. Please don't approach. White is green signal. Okay, now I'm ready. Somebody wants to marry, can come. Like that. If we cannot practice or we cannot follow the rules and regulation of the saffron dress, better we should give it up. Not we should give bhakti, we should give up saffron dress. Bhakti is not related with dress and address. Right? But of course, every dress has its value. Like if a thief, he steals, it's a general thing. But if a police wala, he steals, right, in a his full-fledged dress, if he steals or did some, or does something wrong, immediately people will say, "Arey, police wale bhi aisa karte hain. Chor to chori karta hai, police wale bhi karte hain." Right? Or you go to station and you fight with someone. "Arey, sadhu ke aisa karta hai tum? Ab sadhu aisa karte hain." General people, public anyway fight. That is not new. But a sadhu, if he fights on station, if he quarrels with people on the station, people will, you know, they are amazed. Are he's a sadhu, he's fighting. Right? Someone should think that, okay, I have kantimala, I have dress of a devotee, dhoti kurta, I have a tilak. So better I should behave in such a way that Prabhupada's name won't get spoiled. Nobody remembers us. So many people has come and has gone. People remembers only Prabhupada and Krishna, that's all. So if we does something wrong, if we do something wrong, Krishna's name, Prabhupada's name will get spoiled, not ours. Who remembers us? Naam kharab hone ke liye naam to hona chahiye, right? Badnaam hone ke liye naam hona chahiye. A person who doesn't have any honor, what is the value of dishonor? First we should have honor, should have some respect. So people know Prabhupada, people know ISKCON, people know Radharas Bihari. So if we commit some nonsense, if we do some nonsense, whole life people will say, Radharas Bihari mein aisa hi hota. Nobody will say, Shyam Bihari ne aisa kiya. No, nobody will say this. Nobody knows who is Shyam Bihari. Outsider, insider. But they know Raj Bihari, they know Prabhupada. We should be very careful while going out, while inside the temple, that we are representing Prabhupada, we are representing Radharas Bihari. Right? We don't have any value, but they have value. And because of our activities, their name will get spoiled. So Indra, he introduced such an irreligious system, irregular sannyas order. And Prabhupada writes, it is the duty of the king not to tolerate the introduction of any religious system. Right? It is the duty of the king to not tolerate. And because government is not doing that, what is happening? Prabhupada writes that, unfortunately, there are cowards who declare a secular state. Such a mentality is a way of compromising religious and irreligious systems. But because of this, citizens are generally becoming uninterested in spiritual advancement. So what is the duty of government? They should allow only those organizations which is based on scriptures. Now there are so many organizations, unbona fide, no head or tail, without any scriptures, without any base, they start some sampradaya and they commit some nonsense and sadhu's name gets spoiled. And people then lose faith. So it's duty of the king or duty of the head of the state not to allow such religious organization whose base is not based on, or those organizations who are not based on scriptures, they should not allow them. But nowadays, politicians, leaders, they themselves are corrupt. They themselves are corrupt. How can we expect from them? It's not possible. They don't know what is religion, what is irreligion. They don't know. Right? They themselves eat, they themselves drink, they themselves have illicit connection with women. What can they understand about religion? How will they discriminate between bona fide spiritual organization and non-bona fide? They don't know what is Bhagavad Gita. They don't know what is Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says they are cowards. They are cowards. Because they are interested. They are self-interested people. They are interested in their welfare. People should vote me. So if I hurt someone else's mentality, someone's feelings, sentiments, they won't vote me. They don't give me vote. So I should not hurt anyone's mentality. Let anybody do whatever they want. Let whatever they like, let them do. No problem. So politicians are like that nowadays. So we cannot expect from them. Like once it is described that there was a father and he wanted to know what his son would be in the future. Right? He wanted to know his consciousness level or what will he become. So what did he do? Inside his room, he kept three things. A picture of a very beautiful girl, beautiful actress, a bottle of wine and Bhagavad Gita. You know, like we know when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's some ceremony was there, so he was offered two things, Bhagavad Gita and money. Bhagavatam and money. Means if he choose money, means he will preach or he will be a religious person. If he choose money, he means he will be attracted to money, he can be a businessman and all. And if he chooses Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, he will become a sadhu or sannyasi and he will preach the cult of Bhagavatam. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in case of Prabhupada, we see that. The same thing happened. So he kept three things. The picture of a very beautiful girl, a very famous film actress, and then a bottle of wine, and Bhagavad Gita. All three things were there on the table. And this boy came, saw all three things, started thinking, took the photo, kissed her, embraced her, kept it in the pocket. And he took the wine bottle, drank it, and took the Bhagavad Gita in his hand, and left the house. He did all the three things. He kept Bhagavad Gita in his hand also. And when father was seeing, father was hiding behind the curtain. So he was seeing everything. And he said, okay, bada hoke politician banega ye. Bada hoke politician banega. So he did everything. He kissed the photo also. He drank the wine also. And in his hand, Bhagavad Gita was there. Okay, I'm religious. I'm a religious person. So he was a perfect man to become a politician. Right? So politicians or leaders, now they themselves don't know what is religion, what is irreligion. So we cannot expect, and let us not expect from them. Let us try to improve ourselves. We should not increase the number of one fraud in the society or one cheater of the society. At least we can be honest. We can be sincere in the execution of devotional service. Right? So, one another point is that which helps us to, it's a just comparison can be there, that we can compare Indra with our mind and Prithu Maharaj with our intelligence. And it is the duty of mind, mind continuously gives us offer to enjoy this material world. So many options mind give to enjoy. Okay, you take this option and try to enjoy. Actually, there is no happiness in the material world. But because of mind, a person thinks, yes, there is some happiness. So one should have a strong intelligence, like Prithu Maharaj, who can immediately cut off, who can immediately kill the desires of mind. Such intelligence is required. Because it's the duty of the mind to introduce such systems for enjoyment in this material world, which binds us in the modes of three natures. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan parth manogatan. It's a mental concoction. Actually, translation is like this. When a person gives up all varieties of desires for sense gratification, which arises from mental concoction. Means all desires by which we think that we can gratify our senses is mental concoction. Actually, there is no happiness. Happiness is not in the object. Happiness is in the mind. Like suppose somebody is very hungry. Since 3 days, someone has not been eaten. And you offer him some sukha, sabji and chapati. Sukha, stale, 2-3 days. He will relish that sabji and that chapati. Isn't it? A hungry person will relish that sukha sabji and chapati, that stale object. Can we? No. We said, kya sukha chapati de rahe? Achha banao. But that hungry person, he will relish. It means, happiness is not in that object. It is in the mind, or it is in the requirement of the body. When we feel hungry, when we are really hungry, anything and everything will do. Or like I was reading just somewhere, it is written that what is the use of serving a person who is full, whose belly is full, to give a full feast, a nice feast. If you offer some nice feast to a person who have already eaten, who is full, he will not enjoy that feast because he is full. Like if you eat one rasgulla, relish, very relishable. Second one, little less. Third, little less. And like that, after that a saturation point come. Now after that we eat. We may omit. We cannot. So, happiness is in the mind, not in the object. And Krishna confirms it in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvan partha manogatan. It's mental concoction. Like, no woman is beautiful. No girl is beautiful. It is the lust of a person who makes the woman beautiful. Right? If somebody is very lusty, for him even an 80 years girl, 80 years, 80 girl, will be very, you know, attractive. 80 saal ki budhiya will be attractive because of that lust. And if somebody is devoid of lust, like Sukhdev Goswami, even 18 years beautiful young naked girl to keep in front of him, he will not get attracted. No lust, no requirement. So beauty is not, like kehte hain, it is said that sundarta dekhne wale ki aankh mein hoti hai, right? It is not in the object. So because of lust, we see some object as beautiful. Because of hunger, we feel some object, we taste some object as very tasty, some very relishable. That object is not tasty, that object is not relishable, but because of our hunger we feel it. Right? And because of our bodily condition. So mind gives us such option which keep us binding in this material world. If we go on fulfilling the desires of mind, rest assured we won't go back home, back to Godhead. And we will never be peaceful also. But if intelligence is strong like Prithu Maharaj, who immediately prepared his bow and arrow to kill, then what is the hope for mind? We should make our intelligence really very strong by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing from devotees, especially pure devotees, especially sannyasis. And that will definitely make our, that will make our intelligence strong. And what about mind? Mind also requires some taste, you know. It is not that you just make intelligence strong and you don't give anything to mind. It won't work. For the time being, it may work. But actually, mind wants some enjoyment. So that enjoyment, some higher taste should be given to mind. And the highest taste is chanting the holy name of the Lord. So we should very attentively try to chant. At least we should desire to chant attentively. We may not be chanting attentively, but at least we may desire. Should try to chant attentively. And this chanting has got the potency to change our consciousness. Words are the most powerful thing in this creation. Nothing is more powerful than words. Right? It is said that pen is mightier than sword. Because by sword you can just force someone to change for the time being. But by words, you can change any person permanently. Words are really very powerful. Like someone comes to you and tells you. So someone comes to me and tells me, you are a rascal. You are a rascal. Right? Just four words, you are a rascal. He didn't beat me. He did not steal anything from me. He didn't give me any physical injury. But still, I will feel hurt. Still, I will feel that my blood will start, you know, warming. It will start, heartbeats will increase. Just by these four words. And we will develop an enmity with that person. Why did he say that? How dare you say it? Right? Is it not? Just four words. And it changes our consciousness. You are a rascal. Khatam. And everything gets changed. We become disturbed. Why did he say to me like this? How can he say this to me? I am not a rascal, but still, you are disturbed now. Mind gets agitated just by these four words. Or someone comes to you and tell you are very intelligent, right? Did he give you some money? No, he didn't give you any money. Did he give you some presentation? No, he didn't give you any present. But still, these four words, you are very intelligent. You are very intelligent. And we become blissful. Ah, at least somebody knows. Somebody knows I am intelligent. Rest of people don't know, but at least one person knows. Even though I may know, I am not intelligent, but I may feel at that time. So these words have so much power to change a person's consciousness. So material words have so much potency. What about spiritual words? Words which are from this material world, they are so powerful, immediately changes our consciousness. So spiritual words, and especially the name of the Lord, how powerful will it be? Definitely it will be more powerful. But suppose someone comes to me and tell me, you are a rascal or you are a thief, and I do not hear him. I just avoid him. Because I am engaged in some activity, I didn't hear him. What will happen? Does it make any effect on me? No, it will not make any effect on me. Why? Because I didn't heard it. I did not hear it. Because those words didn't enter through my ears to my heart. Then the potency of that word will not be displayed. Similarly, if we chant, we don't hear, those words don't enter into our heart through our ears, no effect. Then it is useless. Sram evahi kevalam. We may go to heavenly planets, but there are many ways and means to attain that. Chanting is purely meant to attain spiritual abode, Krishna's planet, where there is only bliss, khana, khilna, nachna or gana. Nothing else. Eating, dancing, that's all. Playing, that's all. Nothing else. That is the abode of Krishna. There are no factories, there are nothing, no doctors, no medicines, no email and Gmail. Nothing is required there. You just dance there, eat there and be happy with Krishna. Right? That is the purpose of chanting, not to attain heavenly planets. So it should be heard properly. Otherwise we just, like it is said that bahu koti yadi kare jan shravan kirtana ta bahu na paaye Krishna pade premadhan. We may go on chanting for millions and millions and millions of lifetime, but still we will not be able to go back home, back to God. Because of offenses, of course. Because it is not attentive. Words are not going into the heart through our ears. It should go. Like at back, so many people may say so many things about me, but I don't get disturbed unless those words enter into my heart. Similarly, unless Krishna's words enter into our heart, it will not manifest any effect on us. So what is the price? What price one should pay? So Rupa Goswami mentions in his Padyavali, Krishna bhakti rasa pratibhavita mati kriyatam yadi kuto api labhyate tatra lalyam api mulyam ekalam kotishva janma sukritim na labhyate. Krishna bhakti, the pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness, cannot be obtained by performing pious activities for millions and millions and millions of lifetime. Kotishva janma sukritim na labhyate. Then how to obtain it? Tattra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. Only one price. Intense desire to have it. That is the price you have to pay. Nothing is free. Either sense gratification or spiritual enjoyment. Nothing is free. We pay for everything, right? We eat, we enjoy feast. For that we have to work outside. Nothing is free. For everything we have to pay. Nothing is free. So how bhakti can be free? But what is the price? Price is tatra laulyam, intense desire that yes, I want to go back home, back to Godhead. And if we have got that intense desire in this lifetime only, no need for another birth, we can go back home, back to Godhead. Right? So we should get inspiration. Of course, from Indra also we can take inspiration. He was so determined, you know. Twice he, at the risk of his life, twice he tried to steal the horse. It's not an ordinary thing. He knew that Prithu Maharaj is so powerful. Still he, you know, did it. So that determination we should have. It will help us. We should take positive things. Like it is Chanak Pandit said that we can have gold from the gutter, from the filth. Gold can be taken from the filth. So that determination of Indra can be taken. Not the purpose behind it, but the determination which he has got. Yeah, somehow or other I have to spoil it. Means that determination. I have to do it. That we can have. And by doing that, definitely at the end of this lifetime, we can go to Krishna, we can dance with him, we can chant with him, we can eat with him. By attentively chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments we can discuss? Pardon?
Lord.
Yeah.
And Prithu Maharaj also empowered incarnation of the Lord. And then why Indra become envious to Prithvi Maharaj?
I think Prabhupada gives this answer in, there is one verse where his prosperity is being mentioned. So let me, 9. Prabhupada writes that, in this case, however, King Indra is addressed as Bhagwan. This is text 10. Because he has so much power in his hands, despite his becoming Bhagwan, he is envious of the incarnation of God. Right? So in this purport, Prabhupada actually explains, somewhere it is there. Because he is actually Jiva Tattva. He is a Jiva only. Why we are here actually? What is the reason? The only reason we are here is because we became envious to Krishna. All of us are envious to Krishna. And that's why we are here. So someone, like all of us are devotee of Krishna, trying to be, but still we have that enmities to some level. Is it not? We have. Who can say that I am free from envy? Nobody can say. That's why right in the first canto, first chapter, second verse, Srila Vyasadeva writes, Parmo nirmasaranam satam. Those who are completely pure in their heart, those who are free from envy, they can understand this Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he knows that those who are envious, they cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And he knows that everybody is envious. So now what is the solution? We are envious, so we cannot understand this Bhagavatam. So how to do it? And only those who are non-envious, they can understand. So by reading this Srimad Bhagavatam, we become non-envious. This enmity goes away. When we read that Krishna is Suhrida Sarva Bhutanam, he is our real well-wisher, our real brother, our real father, real mother. Everybody else is just for the time being, for the 10, 20 years. Like, we have relation with our, suppose say, father and mother. Before my birth, I had no relationship with them. At a particular point of time, I took birth and relationship got established. That is parents and son. But after again 20, 30 years afterward, that relationship will not exist. Right? But Krishna, or like wife and husband, before marriage we don't know who is going to be, who will be going to our wife or who is going to be our husband. We don't know. But after a particular point of time, through some ceremony, we choose someone as our husband or wife. And again after 20, 30 years, that relationship is going to finish. Right? So just for some years, we are relatives of each other. Maybe brother, sister, father, mother, husband, son, whatever it may be. But Krishna, since time immemorial, he has been with us. And he will continue to do that. He will continue to do that. Right? So when we hear this, oh, Krishna is so good. He loves us so much. So that enviousness, then that envy goes away. Oh, Krishna loves us so much. So this text 10 of this chapter, only in purport, Prabhupada mentions why we are... Like Prabhupada said, the word Bhagwan Indra indicates that a living entity can even be as exalted and powerful as King Indra. For even King Indra is an ordinary living entity in the material world and possesses the four defects of conditioned soul. So he has got that four defects. Right? So this in text 10, Prabhupada writes a good purport, so there it is mentioned. Because we are envious, we are here. Someone have more envy, someone have less envy. Those who are less envious,